Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening. Radio. 13, I've been annoying people and talking trash.
Yep, you have.
Guess what? I'm going to continue to do it too. You know, somebody else calls my show Big Daddy S-Talk Radio. You know, I don't care. I'm going to continue to talk. What they going to do? That's what I do. This is Big Daddy. Thanks for tuning in with my co-host, Big Booty Trudy, a.k.a. Faye Elise, a.k.a. Faye Jackson.
Yep.
A.k.a. Janet Jackson.
A.k.a. Samuel L. Jackson, long-lost daughter.
Yeah, a.k.a. Samuel L. Jackson, a.k.a. Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Yep, now take all that. All of it.
How was your week?
Week is good. I've been extremely busy for the past week. I had a big photo shoot last Saturday with Smooth Magazine. So I'm hoping those pictures came out good. I'm actually excited about that.
That's what's
up. Ass was everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll shut down the doggone internet again. Here we go.
I had an oil man. He was Russian. He was real nice, too. He said he also spoils Jennifer Lopez, well, when she used to do photo shoots.
Whoa, wait. He's an oil man.
Yeah, they had oil man on the set. Like, it was legit. Or the oil man. He gets paid to put oil on women's bodies. Baby oil.
All right, now here's my next question. How did he get this job, and how can I be there?
I don't know how he got the job, but he told me he's been doing it for years, to the point where I guess he's so good at it that back when Jennifer Lopez used to do, photo shoots, that Jennifer Lopez would call him specifically to do it.
Used to call him
mm-hmm.
to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I know, right?
That's crazy. Like, so, what do you have to do to qualify to do this job? Like, do I have to
be a perv? Not be a perv. Let's start with that. Be professional.
Okay. Well, let me ask the next question. Was this guy, Kumchao?
No, not at all.
He was a man. That's good. I think I found my next, professional.
Like, he was 100% man. Now, my makeup artist, the man that did my makeup, he was extremely fabulous. Like, if you follow me on Snapchat.
Oh,
Snapchat Trudy419. I took a couple of behind the scenes pictures and videos. He had my makeup on point. So shout out to him. I forgot his name, but shout out to him.
Okay. Well, so this is like a real professional type of photo shoot that they had all these.
Yeah, it was.
That's cool. That's what's up. Basically, with me, I had a setback as far as my ankle is concerned. So I'm with this air cast for at least another 10 days or so. So when I get back to the doctor, hopefully they can take this thing off. And I can start physical therapy. That's what, you know, always getting me up. But past, you know, let's get past me. Nothing really moving too much on the wrestling front. Stan Hansen will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. We're going to announce that tonight. So he might be the last one. They still got a celebrity that they have to be too. They still haven't done a celebrity, but I did hear Stan Hansen's name tossed around. So he'll be next. Raw is actually at the Wells Fargo Stadium, Wells Fargo Center, tonight. And I was going to go. I was offered a ticket to go, but with my ankle and everything, I didn't want to take that risk, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. But I do have someone that's going to be down there that's going to be calling in to tell me what's going on. Or, you know, just a quick shout-out because they were going. That's what's up. WrestleMania is next Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been sitting back and watching. I watched every WrestleMania, and I'm on WrestleMania 29 now. So I'm just two away from finishing. And you can see the slow build-up as far as fan base, matches. And if anybody is listening, call in with your opinion. Do you think WrestleMania went a tad too commercial or a tad too big for his own britches? Because, like, you look at the older WrestleManias, it was more about the wrestling, and some stars were there, but it still focused around the wrestling. And you watch the later ones, they were so focused on
the celebrity,
like the celebrity part of it. Like, it was celebrities that was at WrestleMania, and that's the celebrities that got into the ring, which was cool. But the one was just a bunch of performances. I'm like Kid Rock was the one. I think was one Kid Rock 25. He performed. And he did 2 to 3 songs. And he was leading up to a 25 Diva Battle Royal, but they didn't even have enough time to announce the Divas that was involved in this Battle Royal because of all the BS with him. Now, Sonny was in there, was in his Battle Royal, and she hadn't been in the WWE universe in quite a while. And there was a couple other Divas, like Molly Holly, that nobody knew she was there. But maybe if they would have took the time to announce that they were there, you would have known it. And as they were getting someone out of the ring, that's when you started to say, like, oh, that was this, that was that person, that was that person. But he performed 3 songs in a row. Maybe you just cut them down to 1 song to take time to still stand behind your wrestling, it might would have been better. And also another thing that was getting was the whole thing with The Rock and Cena. And when The Rock rock bottom Cena at 27 and The Miz got the win, was that necessary? Like, was that move really necessary? And it wasn't explained well. If I remember correctly, the next day Cena was just like, oh, well, I'll fight you at WrestleMania next year. But he wasn't pissed off at The Rock at all. In fact, you just screwed me out of the title.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, okay, I understand you're setting up for your next show, your next big show or whatever, and it's The Rock, and this is the two generations coming together. I had this great big match and blah, blah, blah. But it was just, I'm like, this could have been done a whole lot better. And are we, as far as wrestling fans, just settling for whatever the WWE is seeing us? And should we be asking more from these superstars? As far as WWE itself. Should we
two
really
things
do
I have to say about that and what you said.
Go ahead.
Well, one, I think, I hate to say this, but it seems like The Rock is like the WWE's Captain Save-A-Ho. Whenever they feel like something isn't going to work, they call him. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, The Rock's here. Like, and now it's to the point where, like, even with this WrestleMania, I'm going to watch it. Because I'm a wrestling fan, but I'm not excited for it. And I'm not even excited to see The Rock. And I love The Rock. Like, he was one of the main reasons why I was, like, into wrestling so much because of his charisma. and his just him being him. That's what it was. Is nobody ever going to ever be The Rock. It's only going to be one Rock. But it's kind of like they're overdoing it at this point. The Rock has come and gone. So let him be like the movie superstar that he is. He doesn't need to always come back every now and then. You don't even see Stone Cold coming back all like that. They gave him a podcast, but that's about it. He doesn't come back
see him involved. It's like you're saying, you don't see him involved in a ring like that. That's about Stone Cold. You don't see him involved in a ring like that, where The Rock became Captain Save-A-Ho and ran in and tried to save his cousin. At last year, not this past Royal Rumble, but the one before that was in Philly, which Philly screwed up. And I know somebody that's listening probably getting pissed off what I'm saying, but Philly totally ruined that Royal Rumble. But it is what it is. They tried to bring out The Rock, Captain Save-A-Ho, and it didn't work. And now they're saying that he's going to be at WrestleMania this year because you see where nobody's really getting, I wonder how the ticket sales are doing as far as, like, did they really sell it out or they're just saying they sold it out? And how, how bad
and
they really were because
told,
nobody really.
Truth is, The Rock needs to be careful because after a while, the fans will turn. They'll get tired of seeing him.
But that shame.
And they'll boo him. And then when they start booing him, then what?
He does. You better call back
John
CM
Punk. They've been booing John Cena. You silly.
And
he's a big John Cena fan. I just want to put that out there for everybody. He's a huge, he loves John Cena. He's the one person that I know that actually does enjoy watching John Cena.
Yeah,
he's a male, straight male.
Yeah, I'm not saying I dislike John Cena. I'm just tired of John Cena. And there's been reports that I've seen here and there that John Cena was retiring. So, if he is.
And that's what I'm saying. Brock needs to be careful as well because the fans will get tired of him, too.
But you see,
come out
saying
and talking and doing whatever you want. But after a while, it gets old, and then his music will hit. If you smell, people will start booing. Like, why are you here? That's what's going to happen.
And then
the second part that you brought up, the fans are, as much as the fans complain about the WWE and how they're tired of this, tired of that, well, if that's the case, watch something else. Support something else.
There's nothing else on.
I say that all the time. Like, if you're tired of WWE, watch TNA. They actually have good wrestling on there. Probably not the best storyline, but they got some good wrestling on there. Watch, if you're in the area and you got the local channel and you got Comet, watch Ring of Honor. Watch, you have access. Watch New Japan. Just watch something else. And then once those ratings start dropping and continue to drop and continue to drop, they'll realize, like, oh, well, we're losing money. We're losing our fan base. And then once the fans start supporting indie wrestlers or wrestlers that are with TNA, with Ring of Honor, with New Japan, WWE will get the hint. Like, we need to change something because we're drastically losing our fan base, which they are anyway.
Yeah.
I think they're starting to see. But at the end of the day, the fans keep going back and watching. You complain about Raw, but you watch Raw. You complain about SmackDown, but you still watch SmackDown.
Yeah, but like I was saying, there's really nothing else that can compare to it. And I mean, no disrespect to TNA. I mean, no disrespect to Ring of Honor or anything like that. But it's a small, it's like, okay, you got the WWE is number one, and then you got two other fans competing for number three. You know what I'm saying? Because they're on a smaller scale.
When it comes to Ring of Honor, if you don't have the channel, then you can't see it. Like, that's just, like, if you don't have the local channel, you can't see it. So that's something that we have to work on. But TNA, you can watch TNA.
Yes, but even with TNA, a lot of their stars are leaving. And that's what I was about to get into, the fact that they just lost two other superstars, Bobby Roode and one with the beard. Help me out.
Was it Eric Young? Did he just leave?
Eric Young, thank you.
Yeah.
Eric Young and Bobby Roode both are not resigning. They're both leaving. Either they, you'll see them show up in TNA. I mean, show up in Ring of Honor or whatever might try to make the jump to WWE. And I can see Bobby Roode trying to make that jump to WWE. I think he would do a little better than Eric Young. But they've lost a lot of stars over the years to the point now, and I'm a wrestling fan, and I've watched I watch TNA, and I watch Ring of Honor, too. And here's my thing with both of them. It's just that with TNA, I don't know who's writing the storyline or who's behind whatever, but you got to have an idea, stick to it. It seems like they
TNA, they're on their own demise. Like, that's nothing with the fans.
Yeah.
That's just them and their politics.
Yeah. And as far as Ring of Honor, you have to be a fan of that style of wrestling, of that Japanese spot monkey style wrestling. You have to be a fan of it. I'm not downing it, and I'm not saying you just, you know, you got to be a fan of it. And they functioned for a while with no TV, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel as though ECW failed, because ECW, if they would have stayed right there in South Philly, they continue to run their shows right there in South Philly with that little bit of TV that they were getting, with the people they was having, 2,000 people show up a show. Trust me when I say it was 2,000 people in the arena every time they ran, so they had enough money to pay their bills. If they would have stayed right there, they would have been fine. But as soon as they tried to venture out and they started going to Detroit and Chicago and this place, that place, and even with a major TV, that's where they fell off at and wasn't as good. So, on that note, let me take this great big gigantic commercial break and come back. We'll do some relationship talking. So anybody that's listening, call in. 718-508-9883. Call in with your questions. Don't let us, you know, do all the questions. You guys got questions, call in with them. We'll respond. We'll give you our opinion on them. You know, I'm a male chauvinist, so I'm definitely going to give you a chauvinist pig style of opinion on it.
No, all the time.
And, here we go. And we're at. So hold on. We'll be right back on Big Daddy's Hard Talk Radio.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings of top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles. For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name. Selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at trashcity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom. We are online only. Visit us at trashcity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromHolmes.
And we're back.
All right.
Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 13. After we had an hour and a half of commercials.
I'm going to stop.
Speaking, you know, two things I want to hit on real quick before we get into the relationship part of it that I almost forgot I wanted to talk about. Hulk Hogan was awarded $115 million in a settlement. Has somebody aired one of his sex tapes and it was a violation of his privacy, and he sued and won. And I was watching an interview that Linda Hogan or whatever last name was, his ex-wife, that she did on Entertainment Tonight, and she was saying, oh, it's disgusting, and I don't believe he took that money. And he should have never had done it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you mad because you didn't hold out long enough to get some of that money. So, on you, okay? One. Two, Hogan got to be the luckiest man on the planet. Because he got fired from the WWE. They didn't want no parts of him. He probably wasn't getting any money coming in. Just barely any money, and he stumbled, trips, and falls on $115 million. Moral of the story is, do not take yourself, well, he didn't take himself, somebody take them, but make sure if you're having sex, there ain't no cameras around, anything like that. You never know that somebody going to use it against you.
Mm-hmm.
He had, I guess, in a way, he should be glad somebody did film him because he sued him once. Incredible. Incredible. He went from calling people niggas to $115 million. God bless America.
He's getting that Trump money.
Sure enough. Sure enough. And, all right. Here's the relationship part I want to get into. It's not really a relationship question. This is just like a moral type of thing. Let's say you and Honey, y'all together, y'all get married, y'all have kids. He finally knocks you up, okay? A couple years down the line, you and Honey relationship don't work. He goes his way. You go your way, you got the kid. You personally fall on hard times and you can't take care of the kid like you used to. Would you have a problem with Honey getting full custody of the kid?
Taking full custody?
Full custody.
Like meaning the my little DJ or little Tatiana won't be with me anymore?
You can come and visit little DJ, Tatiana, Jabugaboo, whatever you want to name, as much as you want. But he would have custody. He would be raising him or her. He's giving you time to get yourself together. Even after you get yourself together, he decided he wanted to keep the kid. Like, would you have a problem with it? You flip. You ain't a baby daddy, but you're a baby mama now. So you playing a role that a lot of baby daddies play nowadays.
That's a hard question for me to answer. Only because, like, I'm the world's greatest auntie. So I'm happy to give away my nieces and nephews when they go home. So I don't really, I don't know. Everybody tells me the emotion is different once you have a child.
Yeah.
So for now, I would say, like, if he wanted to take care of them when we weren't together, you know, by all means, if I can't. But I think my emotion will be different once I actually have that child. And then I might have a different attachment to it. Where I'm like, I don't care if my child is the only one eating and I can't eat, like, you're not taking my child. But for right now, I think that's a hard question for me to answer because I don't have the child, so I don't know that experience. I think if anything, somebody that does have that experience, like any women out there that are listening, they should be able to answer that question better than I could. Because for me right now, I've always said since the beginning, and everybody knows this, if I were ever to get pregnant before the age of 35, what I was going to do was have the child, have it for a couple of weeks, wherever the baby daddy is, like, hey, I need to go babysit. I need you to babysit. I got to go to work. And then I'll, like, move across the country. So that's what I always said I would do.
That's just
so like if,
that's not
yeah,
even.
Hey, I know because I ain't ish.
That's
I know that.
You ain't ish. you know what? Now here's my thing with that. I don't see where it would be a problem. As far as you know, if I was all right, my ex and I, we have joint custody. But physical custody is with her. You understand what I'm saying? So if there was a time where I wanted their physical custody to be with me, and she had a hissy fit because my daughter and I wanted to live together because she lived with her mother all the years. She wanted to experience time living with her father. And I was in a better position than what I am now. But at that time, I was in a pretty decent position where I could possibly pull this off. And when I went to my baby mom with it, she had a hissy fit about it. And it just, you know, and I just let it go. I said, all right, whatever, because I'm not going to fight. The whole time we were together, I didn't fight. But, you know, I felt as though, you know, I was being a big enough man to say, okay, I want to do this. And I never had that opportunity. But we have a caller. So, hey, caller, you're on with Big Daddy's Hard Talk.
Hey, Big Daddy, it's Lady T. Called in for an answer on the child part.
Hey, Lady T.
Custody and all. Hey, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Okay. So coming from somebody who has a child, and say, Elise, I heard your response, and it was quite honest. But from someone who's been there, done that, I would say it depends on the child's age. If the child is old enough, say like a teenager, 12, 13, 15, especially a male child, to go be with his father, I don't see an issue with that because clearly a woman can't raise a man or even a black man in this country. Like, we'll never know what that experience is. But if they're small children, like 2 or 3 or 4, sometimes I think that that may be too young to be pulled from the mother. But, again, if the mother is not taking care of that child and is an issue,
yes,
and if it comes to where I'm homeless and rather than have my child out on the street, I would trust his father to take him long enough for me to get myself together. I would think that whatever we had at one point in time, that he would take his child and stand up and care for him while I got it together. Now, and it still goes back, you need to know who you're having a kid with, but that's a whole other subject and another show. So, I would do it depending on the situation.
Okay, Lady T. Speak
okay.
Now,
yes,
you know, it's
and
just
she,
us three on
right,
this right now.
Her.
Now, I agree with it too. Now, speak on as far as what you just said, as far as knowing who the person that you're having kids with. Because a lot of people get involved with people and have kids with them and don't really know the person that they're dealing with like that. Now, I want to get your opinion on that. How do you feel about that?
Okay. My personal opinion, even in dating somebody, you should at least know them a year. Because when you meet somebody, you're always going to meet the representative who they want you to see up front. Now, you can carry your representative person on for 6 months, 8 months, but after a year, that fake person that you present to somebody starts to fall off. And you especially know somebody if they can stick with you through hard times. Everybody, your friend through good times and when the sun is shining. But when you're on your down on your last dollar and you need a loaf of bread, is that person still there with you? Are they still around? Can you call them to help you out or give you some beans for dinner? If they can't help you there, then why would you have a child with them?
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go.
You know who you sleep with.
And that so annoys me. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you need to know who you sleep with. That's number one. I mean, it's to the point where this day and age where after maybe the first two dates, y'all started sleeping with each other. That's fine and dandy. Do you. But keep yourself protected.
I agree with that. Be protected. Have all the fun you want. But when you bring kids into it, another situation, and then by you dating this person, could be male or female, and I'm not male bashing, could be either way. After time, you'll see some of the other people, if they dating other people, start falling out the trees too, or whether they have kids, you'll start seeing this. Can he or she spend time at your house? Do they spend the night over? If they got to run home every night and be somewhere, there's somebody else. So you got to read the signs too. So if you saw those red flags early, or if you gave you enough time to see the red flags, why would you bring a kid into that situation? Now something else is going on, but you didn't know it because you ain't take the time and relax to see what was going on with this person.
But you know what? here's my thing with that, and I totally agree what you're saying, Lady T, and Faye. I agree with both of y'all saying. But it goes back to something that you said, Lady T, when you first called in. And I'm going to tell you what it was. It's about raising your kids the right way. Now, as far as black men, we have to raise our younger black boys to be able to, one, respect our women, to do right by our women, to raise our kids by our women. And that's where we're falling off at. Because I've coached little league sports for years when my kids are younger. You understand? So from the time when my son Jared was 10 up until just 2 years ago when Juwan was playing PAL, I coached a lot of kids. And I've seen the ones that I knew were going to be okay, and I've seen the ones that were so much a mama's boy that it was disgusting to me. And I'm like, where's the father? Where's the male influence in this? And a lot of these kids gravitated to me because I would put foot in their little asses, and this is what they needed. This is what they were craving. So if anybody's out there listening, and I'm not just saying black men is all men, but especially black men, we have to start to raise our sons and not just knocking these women up and then going on to the next one. And you just come visit the little Jabugaboo long enough to throw him a pair of Jordans and go play catch with him, and then you want to sit in the crowd while he's playing the sport and holler, but then after the game, he's going back home with mommy, and mommy's babying him, coddling him, because women are nurturing, and that's what she's going to do. But you need that male figure there. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm just putting it out there, my father was an asshole, but I'll be the first to tell you, he didn't hesitate to put foot in ass when he had to. Maybe sometimes he did it a little too much. But
you're a better man for it. You're a man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I took some of what he taught me and passed it on into my son, but I tweaked it. Because I said, okay, I'm not going to be as hard as he was, but trust believe, if I say something, this is how it's going to be. Like my son.
Can
my
I make another
son,
point? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Make your point.
I just want to make another point, and you know, you might have people calling in or writing in to you. A lot of the brutality and the police shootings in this country could be because these young men don't have fathers and they are disrespectful to authority figures. Now, I'm not saying that they deserve to be shot and killed. I would never wish that on anybody's child. However, if someone is speaking to you, give them the common courtesy of some type of respect or level back to them so that the situation doesn't have to escalate to where that you're a menace to society,
speak
that they feel as though that they have to shoot you because you're a black man. Now, if you come in and you speak like you have some sense and you don't have that bad attitude, I would guarantee a lot of this stuff would not be going down. But because your father never put foot in your ass and never spoke to you in some kind of way, so when another man approaches you, you don't have to be all up in arms and defense and trying to be bad when you're not.
Exactly. Oh, I so agree. I so agree. And I was having a conversation with my nephew about the same thing, and he was saying the same thing. It's just the fact that, and I went to high school and lived in a predominantly white area. So when I got old enough to where, you know, I was hanging out and we were driving around, and it'd be like seven of us in a car acting stupid, you know how teenagers do, and we would get pulled over, we knew how to get ourselves out of these situations by just keeping your mouth shut, let the cops do what they're going to do. But if it got bad enough, you know you can report them. Because I'm going to give you a tip. If you're out there and the police pull you over and you know it's for something stupid, one, remain calm. Two, when it's all said and done, ask them for their card.
Every officer carries
a business card with them. You get the card from them, and then the next day you go right up there and you report them. Do not get into no words, altercations, calling them pigs and faggots and all this different stuff out of the cops, because you're giving them an excuse to kick your ass.
Yep.
I agree.
Lady T,
I agree 110%.
Because it was one particular time I was coming home, and I told this story before. I never told this story on the show before, but different family members heard me tell this story. I was coming home one night from a date, and I got a flat tire in Camden. Fixed the tire in Camden, I put a donut on. Drove home with a donut. It was in the middle of the night. So by the time I pulled up into my driveway, there was a police car right behind me with the lights going. He gets out of the car, asks for license, registration, insurance. My stuff was clean. My parents didn't play that, so my stuff was clean. Gave it to him, okay? He said, do you know you're driving on a donut? Yeah, I just got the flat. Why are you driving on a donut? Duh, I just got the flat. He harassed me for a half an hour ahead of me driving with a flat. To the point where my father ran out there in his drawers and told him, my son just got this flat. He called me. I couldn't get up there to help him. He fixed the flat, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, my dad was that type of brother. But I'm just saying, I handled it. We didn't have cell phones like that back then. So I had any cell phone and start videotaping what was going on. I wasn't going back and forth with nothing like that. I remained calm enough to say, okay, I'm going to get to this situation. It's all said and done. You're not going to have an excuse to kick my ass. And that's what we have to remain, because if you get these boys get raised by women, they don't know how to control themselves in that type of situation. No disrespect to any women, and y'all might get offended, but y'all like to go 0 to 60 sometimes. Why are you telling me though?
And
why are you doing that?
Right.
I wasn't doing that.
I mean, yeah, that's true. It's true, but it's this younger generation. I feel sorry for them. Like, these are, and I say it all the time, these 90s babies, like, I don't know if the parents are too young, and I don't know.
You know, they're having the children younger and younger. You have children raising children.
They're disrespectful.
And, right, and I condone the woman, if you remember a few months ago when they had the riots in Baltimore, and that young lady got there and beat her son's behind for being in the middle of a riot.
Yep.
That was me all day. I would have had no problem getting out there and beating the drawers off my son because, for one, if you get shot or killed, who's going to come help me, help you, or whatever? I don't know where you're at. You're out here with these. Anything could go on. And they condone that. They condemn that woman for beating her son in front of people. But guess what? Her son is still alive to tell the story. So,
amen.
Yes, I would. But then you have these children raising children. And if you're 15 and 16 and 17 and you don't know and you didn't have a parent, it's a generational curse. It keeps going on, and it's still something that has to be broken. I'm not saying every teenage parent is a bad parent, but if you had a parent there to say, hey, you should be in school. Hey, having a baby at 12 and 13 is not cute. Hey, let's get it together. Hey, let's get some education so that you're not on a repeating cycle. It could change something. So think about what you're doing. That's all I'm saying to my young sisters. Think about what you're doing, baby. That's it.
Thank you, Lady T. I appreciate your call. As always, it's a pleasure when you call in.
Sorry I get so passionate on some things. I'm silly most of the time. I'm very passionate on some subjects.
And that was good. And we love you for it. Like, that was excellent. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before I let you go, or are you good?
No, I have a question for you on next week's relationship. I'll get it together, but you can keep it going on where you are.
Okay.
Well, always a pleasure, ladies.
Thanks for calling
in. That's why I want somebody to call
in. All right, thank you. Good night.
As I experienced it. When it comes to kids, like, I send them home. That's it.
All right, we have a caller calling. Another caller. Caller, I know who this is. What's up, George?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
How you doing?
Made all my promise, man. I'm in the building. So, wish you was here, brother, but I know you can't. How you doing, Trudy, by the way?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's packed in here like crazy, of course, here in Wells Fargo. So,
it's really crowded? There's a lot of people there?
Oh, yeah. It was crazy just getting the parking lot. I'm not looking forward to getting out, but I'm sure it'll be worth it. But
so you're not technically in the building yet.
Oh, I'm in the building. I'm just saying, it was crazy getting in. I finally got in.
Okay.
Stood outside, freeze my ass off for God knows how long to finally get in. So I'm in. I'm inside now. So I'm about to go I'm about to go in my box right now.
All right.
Okay.
Good life.
All right. Well, I wanted to find out how sick it was that it would have been this close to WrestleMania. I was wondering how many Philly fans would show up. But I need to let me know later on, after it's all said and done, if you can inbox me exactly how the Philly fans are as far as the show. Like, were they into it? Were they booing? Were they doing whatever? Because, you know, Philly fans can screw up a show. So,
Well, you know what? Sorry to cut you off. I just saw something online earlier, you know. They were talking to Roman Reigns, right? And Roman Reigns was basically, he's saying he's not going to come through the crowd no more to go to the ring. He's going to come through the back like everybody else. But he's saying, I think everything finally getting to him, he's talking about, you know, he don't care if he's getting booed or whatever. And at the end, it said, well, I think he said the fans are fools. I don't know if that was 100% correct that he said that, or, you know, or he, you know, somebody made that part up. So it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to be received again, because every time he comes down here, you know, he doesn't get a warm reaction.
Well, the last time they put him in a championship match and Vince McMahon was there. But this time it's going to be totally different, because Vince is going to be there, but it's not going to be the same. And I agree with you, George. I'm curious that just how these Philly fans are going to treat him now, especially after the Royal Rumble, where he kind of dogged out the Royal Rumble. In my opinion,
the last time he was here, of course, he won the world title the first time, you know?
Yeah.
No, the second time. I'm sorry, the second time is when he won the world title the second time. And he had that run, you know? And I thought he had a pretty decent reaction that night. But, you know, you can hear it was 50-50 in the building. But, you know, Philly were past. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna hit you up.
Philly fans are passionate. I'm just curious to how it's gonna go down. But yeah, hit me up tonight and let me know how everything went down.
Hey, no problem. Hey, one more thing before I go. I gotta go up this escalator. But one more thing. In my group, I just want to let you know that the Amazonian chick is off limits to you from now on. You know who I'm talking about. Off limits to you, man.
Right.
Nah, that's my girl now. So.
All right, my bad.
Nah, she's cool with it. She told me to say that to you just to get a laugh out of you. But she said she's gonna try and call you next week and mess with you next week. So. I'm gonna try to get her call you tomorrow. But now I'm gonna go upstairs and hit this and check this out. But I appreciate calling you guys, and I'll hit you guys up later. Nice to talk to you, Trudy. Even though you don't talk to me that much, but but I hope y'all have a good week. All right.
Have fun.
All right, you too, buddy.
All right, bye.
Enjoy the show. All right, that was cool. So we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up now. Anything coming up this week, Trudy?
Do I have anything coming up? You know what, I'm not even gonna lie, my brain is so fried, I have no idea. As the days go by, that's when I know I have something going on. Like, oh yeah, I forgot I gotta do this, oh yeah, I gotta do that. So my brain is fried, I'm exhausted. But a good exhausted. Just check out my website,
bailey.com. And I do check it out from time to time. It's very good. On that note, next week I might have two different guests. I might have Christian Crosby calling back in from the Sixers. And I might have a fellow. I don't know how much you follow cosplay, but there's a gentleman that I'm friends with. I've been knowing him since the mid-90s. His name is Eric Moran. And he really got into this cosplay thing, and he actually turned this into a business. And he was featured on a sci-fi network a couple of times in the Heroes of Cosplay show. So I want to bring him on and interview him if he allows me the time. Because this brother has a great story, and I see pictures of him dressed up in his cosplay all the time. And I just want people to know, like, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they get set up to be nerds and this, that, and the first and the fourth. But I appreciate somebody that's willing to be themselves and to do things like that. It wouldn't be me,
absolutely,
but I'm dressing up. Yeah, I dress up to go be Big Daddy, and I dress up to go and, you know, to get in the ring or whatever. But to dress up in a comic book character and walk at these conventions, it's huge to me. Like, I just think that is so cool that somebody would have the time and the energy and the finances to create these elaborate costumes that you look just like these characters, I think is incredible to me. And I have much respect for anybody that does cosplay. Much respect. So I'd like to bring him on and have him talk for a while. Outside of that, there's three different types of people in the world: those who don't know what happened, those who wonder what happened, and people like Big Daddy, Faye Elise, Faye Jackson, Big Booty Trudy, Daniel L. Jackson, Action Jackson, Satisfaction Jackson, that make things happen. God bless you all, and see you next week for Big Daddy's Hard Talk 14.
Yep, talk to you next week. Peace out.